2 Corinthians chapter 12. I do feel sorry for the folks sitting next to you that got the gift. I'm afraid the aroma might be coming through the box there, and they're going to start, you might start hearing some stomachs growling or things like that. But just bear with us, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been going through the book of 2 Corinthians this year. Our theme, Renewed, is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians. And God's desire is that we are to be renewed, right? Day by day, to be renewed, drawn closer and closer to Him. And a couple weeks ago, I was really, I had to nail down the theme for next year. The guys kept asking me, Pastor, we've got to get some things ordered. We've got to do some things. We've got to get some things ready. We need the theme for next year. And finally, God, the Lord just kind of gave me peace about the direction for the theme for next year. And I've got to say, I'm really excited about next year too. Next year's going to be really good. And I've already had people trying to bribe me. What's the theme? You know, you got to wait till January to figure out what the theme is, but it's going to be good. But it's been a joy going through 2 Corinthians, and it's hard to believe we're coming to the end of 2 Corinthians, and we're coming to the end of the year already, halfway through the month of November. And you know, Thanksgiving is just right around the corner, and then of course Christmas and all of that, and the new year. And so it's just been a joy to go through 2 Corinthians. But we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. So verse number 1 down to verse number 10 is where we'll be at today. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just use your word this morning to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just help the message to be an encouragement, Lord, to be convicting, Lord, but more importantly, to help us to look to you and to see you and help us to draw closer to you. Lord, we thank you for the good singing this morning, the special music by the choir and the kids' choir. But Lord, I pray as we come to the most important time, Lord, your word, you would truly work in our hearts this morning as only you can. So Father, bless in the message now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last week, as we were finishing up chapter 11, we looked at why it's important for Christians not just to play at Christianity. And the last part of chapter 11, I think it's very clear, Paul was not playing Christianity. He wasn't playing games. He was serious about what he was doing for God. He wasn't going to allow anything to distract him. He wasn't going to allow anything to make him quit. And I think so many times we live in such a, and I think here in America, I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have, but I think sometimes because of the freedoms, we've gotten softer. And we're not willing to speak about Christ the way we should and the way that we have the freedom to. By the way, I mentioned last week, I mentioned a story about a man that got saved. I don't know if you remember that story. I was reading from our radio station there in Uganda, and there was a man that got saved, and his family got saved. Then I asked you to pray. There was a Muslim man, and I was not at liberty to give his name. I still cannot give his name. But there was a Muslim young man whose father was a hadiq and is a hadiq, which is basically he is a judge for a Sharia law and a very high man in that area of the country. And his son, this young man, I don't know, maybe in his 20s or something like that, had been listening to the radio station and wanted to know more about coming to know Jesus Christ as a savior. And he was supposed to meet this last Tuesday with our guys. He was going to come to Mbali there, and he was going to meet our guys, and they were going to talk with him. And I asked you to pray that God would work in his heart and that he would realize that he needs Jesus and that Islam is not the way, but that through Jesus Christ it is. And I asked you to pray, and I got word this week that man did come, and he met with our guys, and that man accepted Jesus Christ as a savior. While they were talking to this man, they got a phone call. It was the young man's mother. They began to talk to the mother, and she said, "I too have been listening to the radio station, and I would like to learn a little bit more as well." The father, obviously the husband of this lady, does not know that they have been listening to Truth Radio. They've been doing it secretly. But God has brought this young man to the Lord, and God is working through his mother as well. And who knows what God can do? Maybe that God could bring that hadiq to the Lord as well. You say, "Well, that's impossible." Well, I believe the man that wrote this book was a persecutor of the church as well. I believe the man that wrote this book took men and women and persecuted them for the cause of Jesus or for claiming Jesus Christ and actually put them in jail and put them to death. And God saved him. He became a preacher of the gospel, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and we read his letters today. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, I don't know what God's going to do through this story that we're hearing about, but I know that God can save that man as well. And so I'm asking you again, and this man has not volunteered to meet with anybody, obviously, but I'm asking you to pray that God would save this lady, and that through his son and his wife, that somehow this man's heart would become soft to the things of God, and that God would work, and this man, this hadiq, would come to know Jesus Christ as a savior. What a testimony that would be for the glory of God. Amen. Would you pray with me about that? Thank you for praying for this young man, and praise the Lord that he accepted Christ as a savior. And so as Paul is going through this, he talks about all of the different difficult things that he went through in chapter 11, the beatings and the whippings and the imprisonments and all the things that he went through. And yet he's willing to testify and say that it's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. And may I say this morning, the Christian's greatest strength, our greatest strength, is not in self-sufficiency. It's not in us and it's not in who we are, but it is in total dependence on God and on his grace. You know, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And I hope the message this morning will be an encouragement to you that in no matter what you're going through, because I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe you're going through a difficulty. Maybe you're going through a trial or a problem or something. Or maybe, as you'll see, maybe you have a thorn in the flesh as Paul did. I don't know what God has called you to do, and maybe you think it's too big, but can I say this morning, God's grace is and will always be sufficient to see you through. God's grace is sufficient. I want you to notice the first thing that Paul speaks about here, and that is his thorn in the flesh. His thorn in the flesh. If you notice, in verse number 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." A thorn in the flesh. Now, Paul speaks about these abundant revelations that he had. And Paul was, as Paul even says, a man born out of due time. And Paul was a man that God used to really encourage the church and give us the many of the doctrines and things that we have in our church through church history today. But there were certain things that God allowed Paul to know and to see that no other person saw. It's interesting when you read in these first four or five verses, he talks about a man, and I believe, even though he says, I knew a man in Christ, I believe Paul is referring to himself. I think he's talking about himself. And that's why he says, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I don't know what all happened. I can't tell exactly what happened. Only God knows. But he says, he was caught up to the third heaven. He said, how many heavens are there? Well, the Bible speaks of three, the third heaven. The first heaven is what we would refer to as our atmosphere around the earth, right? That's what we would consider the first heaven. The second heaven is what we would refer to as space, as outer space, where the stars and the moon and the planets and the galaxies are. That would be what we refer to as the second heaven. The third heaven is God's place. The third heaven is where God himself resides, where God sits. The Bible says that Paul, through God's miraculous power, was able to be caught up to the third heaven. And notice he says in verse number four, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul says through God's power, God enabled him to be caught up to the third heaven, and he heard and he saw things that he said, I'm not even at liberty to speak of. I can't even talk about them. In fact, earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Just imagine, we think of the good things here on this earth. We think of what it means to be blessed maybe here on this earth, but God says, you can't even imagine. Can't even imagine what God has for us. Can't even imagine what heaven must look like. Can't even imagine what it must sound like to be in the presence of God and to hear the angels singing praises to God. Man, we sang this morning and it was great, and the choir sang and the kids choir and everybody singing out. But can I tell you something? That's nothing compared to what heaven's gonna sound like. Nothing. And Paul talks about how God allowed him to have this experience, that glimpse of heaven. It's interesting to me, if that were us, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on some toes or something this morning, or if I offend you, I'm not meaning to, but most of us, if that had happened to us, we'd want to write a book. We'd want to give an interview, right? We'd want to, you know, make something off of it, right? Tell everyone. In fact, unfortunately, you see people have written books. I went to heaven and came back, and I got interview. I went to heaven and I came back. Friend, can I tell you something? I'm just going to be very kind. I don't think that's true. I don't think they've went to heaven. Oh, maybe they had a dream or something like that, but they didn't go to heaven. Because think about this. Paul says he went there and he says, can't even speak about it. Can't even talk about it. And what's really interesting to me is that this experience that Paul is giving to us now, he says, happened 14 years ago. 14 years ago. Isn't that interesting? 14 years ago, this happened, and Paul has never mentioned it before. Why? Because he says, I don't want to glory in this. He said, this is not about me. I want to glory in God. I want to glory in him. And sure, people would say, oh, but Paul, we'd love to hear what heaven is like. Paul, we'd love to hear what heaven must have sounded like. Tell us a little bit. Tell us what it must have been like. What did heaven look like? How did the angels look? Hey, you'll find out when you get there. You'll find out. If you're saved, if you know the Lord is your Savior, we have something to look forward to. There's something that we're going to find out about. And Paul says, I'm not even at liberty to even speak of these things. He says, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. He said, I'm not going to glory in these things. And we would think that Paul, being the great apostle, that that he was would not have problems or difficulties. And yet, as we saw last week in chapter 11, and even here, Paul says something very interesting. He says, yet lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh. There was something Paul had that bothered him on a daily basis. On a daily basis, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, it bothered him. He calls it a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. I don't know if you've ever been, you ever got stuck by a thorn and maybe it broke off. You had a little splinter. You ever had a splinter in you? Maybe it's not even a thorn, but maybe a piece of wood. And man, it's like you can't get it out, and it just kind of aggravates you. You know, and you try to dig it out and you can't dig it out, and it's like, well, I'm just gonna keep it in there, and then you push on it wrong or something, it just sends shockwaves like all through your body, like that stupid little piece of wood or whatever that thing is in there. It's like, how can that little thing right there cause so much pain, right? That little He says, Paul says, I had a thorn in the flesh. That fly is my thorn in the flesh right now. Fly. I believe flies are demon-possessed. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about that. But he says there was this thorn in the flesh. They're just annoying, aren't they? Those splinters, those things, they're just annoying. But I want you to notice something. Watch what he says. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You know, I've got splinters before, but it's because I was doing something. I've never signed up and said, hey, could somebody come give me a splinter? Could you give me a splinter, please? I'm signing up. I need a splinter. Notice what Paul said. This thorn in the flesh was given to him. This wasn't something that just happened by accident. It was given to him. Well, let me ask you a question. If something's given to you, that means somebody has to give it to you. So who was it that gave Paul this thorn in the flesh? It's God. God gave Paul thorn in the flesh. And friend, again, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your life is like right now. I don't know if you're struggling or having difficulties, or maybe those things are about to come. But can I encourage you, when we experience these thorns in the flesh, understand these things don't just happen by accident. They're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. And Paul says this thorn in the flesh was given to him by God. Now, again, we're not told exactly what it was. We're not told what it was. And may I say, that's good. It's good that we don't know what it is. Some people have assumed maybe it had something to do with his physical body. I mean, when you read back in chapter 11, he was beaten with rods three different times. He was beaten or whipped with whips five different times, 40 stripes each time, save one. Right? I mean, he talks about all the times he was in jail and all the times he was, he talked about being stoned and multiple times. And one, I believe he was probably stoned to death. And that may have even been that time when God took him to heaven. I don't know. But there was something that maybe it was a physical ailment. Some people think maybe it was his eyesight. You know, he had trouble seeing. I don't know. But here's the thing. We don't have to know what it was. What we know is that God said he gave him a thorn in the flesh. God gave him a thorn in the flesh. May I say, every believer has their thorn. Every believer has a thorn that God brings into our life. Maybe you don't know what it is right now, but I can tell you this, one day you will. Maybe that thorn is a sickness. Maybe it's a loss of a family member. Maybe it's a loss of a job. Maybe it's a temptation. Maybe it's a limitation. Maybe it's a burden that keeps us dependent upon the Lord. But Paul says this thorn in the flesh was given to him. And notice, twice he says this, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above measure, God gave him this thorn in the flesh. God allowed this thorn in the flesh to be there. God knew how to balance the blessings of Paul's life also with, may I say, brokenness. Man, you look at Paul's life and you think, man, how one man was able to do all that he did and the churches that were started and the souls that were saved and the people discipled and travel. You know, again, we're talking about 2,000 years ago travel, all the things that he did. And man, the blessings. And can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine at the judgment seat of Christ when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he is going to reward us for how we've lived for him? I would not want to come behind Paul. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, because there's no doubt, there are certain people that we look at in Scripture, we think, man, their rewards are probably going to be a whole lot more than mine, and I don't want to come behind them. And yet Paul says, with the blessing, there was also brokenness. There was this thorn in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice Paul's request, secondly here. Notice verse number 8. He says, for this thing, this thorn in the flesh, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. When you stop to think that Paul had letters to write, he had trips to take, missionary journeys to go on, sermons to preach, churches he wanted to visit. I mean, multiple times he says, man, I want to go here and I want to go there. And there's just so much that he's got planned, the dangers to face as he's ministered. You can understand that this was a serious matter to Paul when he says, Lord, would you take this thorn in the flesh away? And again, no wonder he prayed three times that the affliction might be removed. No doubt in Paul's mind, he's probably thinking, this is keeping me from doing something more for God. This affliction is keeping me from writing more letters, or this affliction is keeping me from preaching more messages, or this affliction, this thorn in the flesh is keeping me from doing more for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so Paul pleads and he cries out to God. Have you ever prayed for something and it just didn't seem like God was answering? Maybe there's been a difficulty or a trial or something you're going through and you've prayed and said, God, would you just take it away? God, just take it away. And it just seems like either God doesn't answer or just God says, no. And sometimes we're wondering if God's really listening. God, I mean, if you just take this away, I'd be able to do more for you. If you just take away this sickness, I could do more for you. If you could just take away this thorn in the flesh, I could do more for you. I would do more for you, God, if you took it away. And it's like, God, are you not hearing me? God, are you not listening? If you just take it away. No doubt, Paul cries out, Lord, if you just take this thorn in the flesh away, I could preach more and I could travel more and I could serve more, I could do more. Maybe Paul thought after the first time that God would take it away. And here's the great apostle Paul praying, saying, Lord, take it away. God says, no. This is the great apostle Paul. I mean, we would think if God's going to listen to anybody, right, it would be the great apostle Paul. And he says, Lord, would you take this thorn in the flesh away? And God says, no. He's probably continuing on in ministry, and there's that annoying thing again. He says, God, would you take it away a second time? God, please take it away. It's so annoying. It's inhibiting me to do more for you. God, take it away. And God doesn't take it away. And again, he's on a journey, preaching, teaching, discipling. It's interesting to see. I don't think we ever see Paul just sitting on the sideline doing nothing. He's always doing something. He's either always traveling or he's preaching or he's discipling. He's encouraging. He's always doing something. He's not just sitting on the sideline. And maybe in frustration, he prays to God for it to be removed. I mean, God, don't you know I could do so much more if you just remove this thorn from my life? Ever been there before? God, I'm just tired of it. Just let it go. God, don't you care about me? I'm trying, and it's still there. God, please take it away. And again, God says no. God, why? God, why? Why won't you take it away? You know it's hurting me. You know it's causing pain. You know it's annoying. You know it's there. God, why won't you take it away? I want you to notice the answer. Notice what Paul says. And he, God, said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God, would you take it away? No. God, would you please take it away? No. God, I'm begging you, please take it away. No. But here's what I will do. I'll give you grace. I'll give you grace. Do you know Paul didn't ask for grace? Did you see that? He didn't ask for grace. He asked for it to be removed. God says, no, but here's what I will give you. I'll give you grace. My grace, he says. My grace is sufficient for thee. Friend, can I tell you something? That's not a promise of ease. When God says, my grace will be sufficient, God's not saying everything's just gonna be hunky-dory now. God's not saying, hey, all right, I'm gonna remove all the problems. No, guess what? Paul still had the thorn in the flesh. As far as we know, Paul had that thorn in the flesh till the day he died. But here's what God said. I'll give you my grace. I'll give you my grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Friend, God doesn't always change our circumstances. But what God can do is change our heart toward our circumstances. We think we know what's best for us. When God says, I know what's best for you. We cry out to God and say, God, remove it, because we think we know what's best. And God says, hold on a second. If I gave it to you, if I allowed it, I think I know what's best. And yes, I know it's difficult, and yes, I know it's hard, but here's what I'll do. I'll give you my grace. God's grace doesn't always remove the thorn, but it does give strength to live with it. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Friend, can I say this morning, God's power is best displayed when we are least capable. God's power is most evident and best displayed when we are weak. When we're not capable. And we're throwing up our hands and saying, God, I don't understand. God, why don't you take it away? God, why don't you do this? God says, all right, you're where you need to be. Now let me give you what you need, and that's grace. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When our resources run dry, his power flows free. God says, when you're at your least, when you're at your weakest point, God says, that's when my strength is able to be made perfect. How do we respond when God says no? How do we respond when we cry out to God and we say, God, I want this to be taken away? God says no. But I'll give you my grace. I'll give you the grace that you need to go through it. How do we respond to that? Do we just throw it in the towel and say, God, if you're not gonna take it away, then I'm done. If you're not gonna get this out of my life, then I'm just done. I quit. I'm just done. Or will we respond the way Paul responds? Notice his response. And look, I'm just gonna say, this is not a normal response. Look what he says in verse number 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul has been praying. He said, look, you know, again, if God should have answered anybody, I mean, this was the apostle Paul that had even ascended into the third heaven and heard and saw things that he said, I'm not even at liberty to say or to speak of. And yet, and so you would think, surely this would be the man that is in tune with God. This would be the man that God says, hey, you ask me anything and I'll do it. I mean, I even let you into heaven, brother. I let you into heaven. I let you to see things that no one else has seen. And so Paul says, Lord, would you take it away? And God says, no. God, you don't understand who I am. I'm your servant. I'm the great apostle Paul. I mean, I've gone through all of these different things. I've done these healings. I've done these miracles. I've ascended. Lord, take this away. No. God, what? I don't understand. God, would you please take this thorn away? No. My grace will be sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in weakness. Can I tell you something, friend? I don't think that's the answer Paul wanted. That's not the answer Paul wanted. Look at his response. Lord, it's not what I want. But if this is what you want, and if you're saying your grace is going to be sufficient, and you're saying that through my weakness, your strength is able to be seen, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my infirmities. You understand what he's saying? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be happy in the things that are not good. I'm going to rejoice in my infirmities. I'm going to rejoice when things aren't going well. I'm going to rejoice in this thorn in the spirit. I'm going to turn around and say, thank you, God, for this thorn in the flesh. Thank you for it, Lord, because without it, I wouldn't experience your strength. Without it, I wouldn't experience your grace. You see, Christians, so many times we're just satisfied with salvation, and yet God says, I have so much more for you. I've got so much more. I've got grace that I want to give out to you. I've got things for your life that you can't even imagine. But because it's not just smooth sailing, because it's not just an easy road, we're like, no, thank you. Not me. I don't want that. Paul says, most gladly, therefore will I rejoice. I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The very thing he once wanted gone. He says, now I'm going to glory in it. The very thing that he was asking God to get rid of, he says, now I can glory in it. I can rejoice that you have given it to me, God, because now I understand what it's there for. It's there so that you get the glory, not me. It's there so that you get the praise and the honor, not me. You see, this was the thing that Paul was writing about with these other false teachers. They wanted the glory. They wanted the honor. They wanted everybody following them. And Paul says, I want people following you, Lord. I want people following you and trusting you. Paul had a new perspective on weakness. A new perspective. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. You understand the word rest means to dwell. It means to like pitching a tent. Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when the power of Christ is able to dwell in me. When I'm weak, when I recognize that I'm nothing and I can't do it, and I have to go to God and say, God, it's annoying and it's frustrating. And so, God, I need your grace for this. God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give you my strength. You see, he had a new perspective on his weakness because he now finds out that there is power in weakness. Look what he says in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Look, like I said, friend, this is not a normal response. Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, please don't misunderstand what Paul's saying. I don't think Paul is just lining up and saying, oh, they're being beaten over here. Hey, beat me too. I don't think that's what he's doing, right? He's not signing up for the next beatings that are going to be taking place. Hey, they're throwing Christians in jail. Hey, how about me? Take me too. He's not signing up for these things, but he says, watch, in verse number 10, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, all those things that he just mentioned back in verse number 11. He says, I take pleasure in these things for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Friend, do you understand? I think many of us don't even realize that young man that I was talking about just a few minutes ago, that came to know Christ this week, do you understand? He could be dead this week. Do you understand that? If his father finds out that he accepted Christ as a Savior, his father, who is a judge and executes the judgment of Sharia law, could have his son executed just like that. And we complain because it's raining outside to go to church. Come on. Well, the temperature's not right in the auditorium. I was a little too cold. Well, I was a little too hot. Well, they went a little bit too long today. You know, that preacher, he's long-winded. You see, it's just like are we just playing Christianity? We're just playing. He says, I will rejoice in my infirmities. I'm going to rejoice in these things. When's the last time? I'm not looking forward to snow and things like that. I mean, I'm looking forward to playing in it, but I don't like to drive in it and things like that. But when things get bad, when have we gone and said, God, thank you. Thank you that things are bad. Thank you that I'm suffering. That's not what we do. We complain. We bellyache and gripe. Paul says, I will what? I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He said, if it's for the cause of Christ and I'm being persecuted, I'm being thrown in jail, I'm being beaten, and it's for the cause of Christ, praise the Lord. That's what he says. We don't know what it really means to be persecuted, to have reproaches and persecution and distress for Christ's sake. And look, let me just say, I'm thankful for that. I'm not signing up to go to jail, all right? That's not what I'm doing. I'm thankful for that. But we are so soft that we're not even willing to recognize and say, when Christ brings these infirmities, when he brings reproaches, when he brings some difficulties in our life, the first response is we just want to quit. We just want to give up on God. And what is he saying? He says, wait a minute, look at the end of the verse. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Not my strength, his strength. Not my strength, his. You know why we don't experience God's grace in our lives? You know why we don't experience his strength in our lives? Because we're too full of self. We're too full of us. Because the very first moment that a problem comes or difficulty comes for the name of Christ, we're out. I'm not going to suffer. I'm not going to be called names. I'm not going to have a door slammed in my face. I'm not going to have people persecute me. We're out. We're done. You see, that's because we're full of self. Because he says when we are weak, then he's able to fill us with his strength. But we're so full of self, he can't fill us. We're too full of self. We're too full of pride. We're too full of what we want instead of what he wants. But friend, can I tell you something? God says, through the thorns and the fleshes and through the infirmities and through the distresses and through the persecutions, God says, hey, let me tell you something. If you'll go through those and you'll be willing to go through those for my sake, my grace will be sufficient for you. My grace will be sufficient. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean as we go through them, he gives us the strength that we need to endure. And as we go through them, we give him the glory and we give him the praise. Because friend, understand, it's all about him. It's all about him. It's never to be about us. So what's your thorn today? What's your thorn? Can I encourage you this morning? Don't despise it. Don't despise your thorn. God has it there for a purpose. Maybe it's to humble. Maybe it's to help you to realize you need him. Maybe God's trying to do something through you. And he says, I need you not to be so full of self. I need you to depend upon me because I want to do something special in your life. What's your thorn? Don't despise it. Because it may be the very thing that keeps you close to Christ. God's grace will be enough. Let his power work through your weakness. Then, like Paul, we will be able to say, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Father, I pray you'd work in our hearts this morning. Lord, we need your grace. I don't know, Lord, this morning, I don't know what any person here is going through. I don't know what their thorn in the flesh is. I don't know what it is they're calling out to you and say, God, would you just take this away? God, would you just get this out of my life? God, I'm having a hard time with this. God, would you just remove it? Lord, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but Lord, I know that there are people here this morning. They're struggling with that thorn in the flesh. And they're wondering, why, God, haven't you taken it away? Lord, would you help them to see this morning that if you're allowing it to stay, that your grace is sufficient and that your strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, maybe we're here this morning, we're just full of self, just full of pride. Lord, maybe this morning we need to come and empty ourselves. Say, God, forgive me. I wonder where their heads bowed and their eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. I wonder if maybe there might be someone here that would say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not even sure if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not even sure if I'm saved. If I died today, I don't know where I would go. You'd say, Pastor, that's me. I don't know how I would answer those questions. Friend, can I tell you something? God wants you to know that heaven is your home. He wants you to know that your sins can be forgiven. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to know that. But it can't be your way. It must be God's way. And friend, maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't think I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not sure if I'm saved, but I would like to know more about that. Friend, nobody else is looking around. This is just between you, me, and God. Nobody else is looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. But if that's you this morning, you say, Pastor, I would like to know more about that. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Nobody's gonna come to you. I'm not gonna call you out. Just slip your hand and put it right back down and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure, but I would like to know a little bit more about that. Just slip it up to right back down. Nobody's looking around. Just, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure. Thank you. God bless you. In just a moment, we're gonna have an invitation. The piano's going to play in just a moment. And if you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved, we'd love to take the word of God and show you how you can be saved. If you're a man, we'll have a man talk with you. A lady, we'll have a lady talk with you. Or I'd love to make an appointment with you sometime through the week and sit down and show you from the word of God how you can know you can be saved. It's the most important decision you can make. A Christian, can I encourage you this morning? I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. God says his grace is sufficient. God says his grace is sufficient no matter what it is. And maybe you're tired, and maybe you've asked God and it just seems like God's saying no, no, no. Maybe this morning you need to come and get a new perspective on that thorn in the flesh. Say, God, I'm not gonna ask for it to be taken away anymore, but I am gonna ask for your grace. And I'm gonna ask for your strength to get through it so that you can be glorified in it. Are we willing to be weak so that as we are weak, his strength fills us so that we can be strong so that he gets the glory? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we're just gonna stand quietly this morning. No one's looking about. If you're able to stand with us this morning, just stand to your feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano's gonna begin playing softly. Friend, if God spoke to your heart this morning, you need to come and pray at the altar. Are you willing to say, God, your grace is sufficient? Lord, I'm not gonna keep asking for this thorn in the flesh to be taken away. I'm just gonna trust you. Friend, maybe you're so full of pride, so full of self that God can't give you his strength because you're not weak yet. It says, when I'm weak, then am I strong. I don't know why God has given you whatever your thorn might be. Friend, I know this, you can trust him. You can trust him. And he'll give you the grace that you need to go through it. He'll give you the strength that you need. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take the Word of God, show you how you can be saved. You know for sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If not, would you let us meet with you sometime and open God's word. Show you from God's word how you can know. What is it that God is specifically speaking to your heart about this morning? Friend, it may be something I didn't even preach on. But you know there's something specific that God right now is speaking to your heart about. Are you going to be obedient? Or are you going to keep fighting? Keep fighting. Maybe this morning it's time you just yielded to him.